please, to 2 Samuel chapter 19 in your Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 19. And we appreciate, as I said before, we appreciate your prayers. We could, it's been an interesting couple weeks, and it's about to get more interesting with some things, but you know, the Lord is able, and I'm sure great. I'm grateful to be a child of the King. How about you? And he promised he'd never leave me or forsake me, just like you. You know him, and just thankful that he's with me in good times and in bad times. And so we're going to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 19, and we're going to be starting in verse. My screen just went off. So, 15. Is it up there? Okay, it's not here. Okay, so let's take a look at 2 Samuel chapter 19, verses 15 to 23. It's not necessary that anybody go take care of it because it'll be all right. Verse 15. This is speaking of David on his return to Jerusalem after the rebellion of Absalom. It says, so the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. So they came to get the king because they tried to overthrow his throne unsuccessfully. His son is dead. His son is dead. He died. So he's coming back to take his rightful place on the throne. Now, we'll get into that in just a little bit, but it's important to know that. It says, and Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. And they went over Jordan before the king. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan and said unto the king, let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. And Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? And David said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? Therefore the king said unto Shimei, thou shalt not die. And the king sware unto him. We're going to get into what all this is about in just a second. But I want to talk to you this morning about the portrait of a forgiving heart. The portrait of a forgiving heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. And thank you that you, those who have asked you to forgive us, you have. And Lord, you have a you're plenteous in forgiveness. The Bible says you want to forgive everyone. The reason you sent Christ to the cross was so that we could be forgiven. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning we would be Christ-like, and we would learn to forgive. Lord, thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Christian walk is never more evident than how we respond when we're hurting inside. I don't know about you, but it seems like when it rains, it pours, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem that way? You know, I really believe, and I've said it before, and I've checked myself and thought about it. If you really think about your life, more tough things happen than good things. I believe that's just part of a sinful, broken world. But not only do difficult things happen to us, but there are times when people do them to us. And you know, there comes a time when we would call it, you've heard the expression, kicking somebody while they're down. Have you heard that expression, kicking them while they're down? Well, that's sure the way that it seems to be. And certainly it was in David's life. You know, there are times that we hurt because of an unavoidable situation. And then there are those difficult times that come from bad life choices. And let's be honest, for a lot of us, that's kind of what it is. Sometimes we talk about reaping what you sow, and we make bad life choices. And if we're sensitive to what God's trying to show us, many times it will lead us back to bad life choices, which is exactly what happened to David here. But I just want to say this to you this morning. You and I, when we come to grips with our own lives, it's hard to hold grudges against people. Because we, in fact, understand that we're glad that grudges haven't been kept against us. How many of you have asked somebody for forgiveness and you're glad that they gave it to you? How many? Okay. Here's the tougher question. How many times have you asked somebody for forgiveness and they refuse to forgive you? It's hard. You want that forgiveness, right? But you're not willing to give it. Some things are hard to forgive. But when we have the heart of God, forgiveness is always going to be a part of the Christian life. As we read this scripture, we find a man named Shimei coming to David as he's crossing the Jordan River, coming back to Jerusalem to take his rightful throne and begging him for forgiveness. Well, he's admits he did wrong. He said he cursed David and he was wrong and he asked for his life. David's friends, his mighty men, all those people are like, no, you need to kill him. And David says, what have I to do with you? What's wrong with you is what he was saying. He said, no, I'm going to forgive him. And he let him go back to his home. What's interesting is, you say, well, that's good of David that he did that. But you remember, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, right? And part of God's heart is the desire to forgive. And you and I will look at things and say, well, yeah, I've forgiven people. For most of us, there's somebody we haven't forgiven. For most of us, there's somebody who did us wrong. And may I say, I am not minimizing the offense in your life. But what I will say is this, that we truly are never more Christ-like than when we forgive. And I want to show you a few things this morning that I hope will be a blessing to you. Number one, I want you to notice, hold on, the attack in David's suffering. Now, in order to see exactly what happened to David, we've got to go back to chapter 16. Would you go back there with me? 2 Samuel chapter 16. Absalom was sitting in the gate of Jerusalem. This was a gate. When someone sat at the gate, they were judges. They were influential people. And they would come for judgment. And Absalom would say, well, if I were king, this is what I would do. And what was he doing? He was turning the hearts of the people towards himself. To the point where he had such momentum that in a false ceremony, he was anointed king. David was getting older. David didn't know what was going on and found out because of some loyal people that he needed to get out. Now, I need to go back a little bit further, because what this is a result of David's sin with Bathsheba and the murder of Bathsheba's husband. There were several fold judgments. The baby died. There were some horrible things that happened with the family. And one of them is his son was going to rebel. So we come back to that, but now it's taking place. David is running for his life, the rightful king, because his own son, it'd be one thing for a man in the kingdom to start a coup, would it not? To try to overthrow the king, but it was his own son. Read 2 Samuel 16, we're going to start in verse 5. It says, "And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei," we heard his name, "the son of Gera. And he came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men who were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, 'Come out, thy bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man.'" We see in this attack, as David is making his way out, just not trying to be killed, and the low point, can you imagine what was going through his mind? Again, he's not a young man anymore, and he's going out, and he's thinking about the son that he loved and who's turned his back, and now he's just leaving for his life, and now a man comes out. Now, there's going to be a reason we're going to see in just a minute, but comes out and just heaps on the humiliation. Heaps on the insult. Just makes it worse. I want you to notice, first of all, there are caustic words. I want you to notice the caustic words that are here. He says things like this. He said he came forth and cursed still as he came. That word curse means to cut. That's what it means. That word curse means to cut. It means to make worthless. Another side of it is to make worthless or disgrace. Whatever it is, again, kicking him while he was down. He was cursing him, saying, "You're no good. You're all this. You're a bloody man. You're all the different things." We're going to get to that in just a second. They were caustic words. He called him a bloody man. The term bloody man means a murderer. Now let me ask you a question. Was David a murderer? Yep. But he also said a few other things. He called him a son of Belial, which meant a vain and worthless man. Okay? He didn't just use words, but he threw rocks. And what we see in this, is not just caustic words, but cruel works. He says, "Get out of here. You're a murderer. You're worthless." He went through these different things to tell him. Now, here's the problem. Part of what he said is true. We've already acknowledged that. But the other part wasn't. David had already acknowledged that he was a murderer, did he not? When Nathan came to expose David for his sin, and he looked at David, he told a parable, and then he said, "Thou art the man." David said, "I have sinned against the Lord." David admitted it. If you want to read a repentant psalm, read Psalm 51. That is David's response. And there might be another one that he responded as well. But read Psalm 51. It is a powerful psalm of repentance and admitting what he had done. But he also said some lies in this. Look at verse 8. He said, "The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man." The lie number one is this, is God is getting revenge for Saul dying. Well, that's not what happened at all. If you remember, Saul died because he disobeyed God. And God said to him, he disobeyed twice in a big way. The first time he said, the kingdom is going to be taken from you. The second time he said, your life is going to be taken. David did not kill Saul. Saul was killed in battle. Okay? But we see in this that God had given his throne, that God, because of what had happened to Saul, God had given his throne to Absalom. Is it true that he had given his throne to Absalom? No. So there's two lies right there that he's saying in verse 8. Number three, basically what he said is David stole the throne. I believe if you remember the story, Samuel went to his house and poured oil on him and anointed him. So right there are three lies that he's telling. But I want you to notice verse 12. When they wanted to kill him, he said, "It may be the Lord will look on mine affliction, that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." Do you know what David said? "I'm going to leave it with God." David needed the energy that he had to get away from his son. You know what he didn't need to do? Is try there to defend himself to a fool. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that we're not to answer a foolish man, because we'll become like him. You know, there are times in our lives where people are going to make accusations. There are times that difficult times are going to come. And sometimes we just need to be quiet. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter, he says, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." David said, maybe God will prove what, and he'll defend me. He said, but you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to take the time to defend myself. The Lord said in Romans chapter 12, he said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." I'm not saying there aren't times that you have to defend yourself, but you have to look at yourself and say, look, is it really worth the effort? Don't plaster it on Facebook. Don't yell and scream. Sometimes the attack, and we're talking about a portrait of a forgiving heart. The first thing we see here is all the lies and everything, but what I want you to see is how David handled it. You know what he said? God can handle this. And you know, in our flesh, you know what we want to do? We want to scream. We want to get physical. We want to grab, don't we? Hey, am I telling the truth? And sometimes God says, just let me take care of it. Well, sure enough, God does take care of it. And Absalom dies. And David is just heartbroken that his son died, because that's the way a father is. But I want you to see what happened when he crossed. We go from the attack in David's suffering to the admission that David secured. Go to back to chapter 19 where we were. And look at verse 19. And boy, Shimei, he's got his tail between his legs. You know what I mean? Have you ever heard that? Tail between his legs. That's what he's got. And notice what happens here. We need to read verses 15 to 20. It says, so the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go meet the king and conduct the king over Jordan. Now I want you to start going to verse 19 or verse 18. It says, and there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan and said unto the king, let not my Lord impute iniquity unto me. Neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely. That day my Lord the king went out of Jerusalem that the king should take it to heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my Lord, the king. I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 18, there was a humble confession. He bowed down. Listen, you don't mean it if it doesn't bring humility to your life. Yeah, I'm sorry, but if you wouldn't have... Just save it. Save your breath. No. Now, we're not going to talk about what happened to Shimei down the road. He ends up showing his lack of character to Solomon. But at this point, here's a guy. He understands. And the first thing we see is humility. Humility. When you need forgiveness, the first thing there should be is humility. Can I tell you that the term proud Christian is an oxymoron? Because of the need we had for forgiveness, there's a humble. But look at verse 19. There is an honest confession. And he said, "Lord, let not the Lord impute iniquity." He said, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely. The day the Lord the king went out of Jerusalem. I mean, he's saying, look, he didn't just say, hey, I'm sorry and I come humbly. He named his sin. He said, that's what I did, and I know I did it. And I want you to see a third thing he did. It was a hopeful confession. Again, verse 19, he says, let not my Lord impute iniquity unto me. In other words, he says this, don't deal with me according to this sin. What was he saying? I'm asking for mercy. When he said that, he said, you have every right to do what I know you could do. I'm asking you not to do it. I've confessed my sin. I've come humbly. I'm being honest. Now, David, I'm asking you not to give me what I deserve. Is that not when we got saved? Isn't that what we asked for? I know I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. But I'm asking you, God, not to do it. I'm trusting in the blood of Christ. I'm asking you that you will not impute iniquity upon me. Is that not what he did to Jesus? Isaiah laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He is asking David to be Christ-like. Now, let's be careful. David does. But understand, why did David have to run in the first place? David asked God to forgive him for his sins. Did God forgive David? But in this case, it did not keep him from being dealt with by God. You've got to understand something. When you get saved, okay, some people say, oh, I don't want God to judge me. I don't want God to do certain things. Understand, God, when you got saved, you got saved from all your sin. God will not judge you for your sin, but he will chastise his children. There's a huge difference between the two. You say, it sure doesn't feel like it. I understand that. But it's a huge difference. Because the chastisement of his children is in order for them to become better children. It's constructive. It's constructive. So David, the whole situation came because of sin in David's life, even though he was forgiven. But in this case, David is not going to impute the sin upon him because of the compassion that he has and other things. You know, it's wonderful. He says here in this, he says, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely. You know what I thought about? I thought he said, David, please don't remember this. I think the verse, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath God removed our transgressions from us. He said he'll put them in the sea and remember them no more. Hey, listen, if you're like me, you're haunted by past mistakes. Now, I can only speak for myself. But I think of mistakes I've made, and of course, the older you get, the more mistakes you make. Well, of course, except for Mike, but other than that, no. The older we get, the more mistakes we make. And you and I get haunted. You want to know something? It isn't God who's bringing them up to you. If you've asked forgiveness, it's not him. Well, if it's not him, then who is it? So he says to David, he says, hey, I want you to forgive me. So it was a humble confession. It was an honest confession. It was a hopeful confession. Thirdly, I want you to see the amnesty that David supplied. Look at verses 21 to 23. It says, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this? Because he cursed the Lord's anointed? And David said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me? He said, you've been so faithful, and now are you my enemy now? Are you working against me? Shall there be any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? This is what David is saying. Hey, you don't have to tell me I have the power to do this. I'm the king. But he's choosing not to do it. And then look at verse 23. Therefore the king said unto Shimei, thou shalt not die, and the king swear unto him. So I want you to see this. Listen, in the face of the offense and the right that he had, he gave him amnesty. Understand that God has every right to judge us. And David defends or protected Shimei. Jesus did the same thing for us. There was a time David needed grace. Again, 2 Samuel 11, when David had killed Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, and he could have died. And because of his humble and honest confession, God did not kill him. And you know what David was doing? He was doing the same thing. A guy who had offended, had every reason to die because of his humble, his honest, his complete confession. David let him go. When we do not forgive, it's like drinking poison and hoping someone else dies. The bitterness just rages. You gotta let go. There are offenses that come, there are difficulties that come. We gotta let go. And that's what David did. In your life and in my life, there are things I guarantee you, if you're holding on to something, it's in your mind right now. It's there right now. And you know what God's saying? Do for them what I did for you. It could be horrible. It could be terrible. Sandy and I have a few stories we could tell you too. But you know what? You can't have a joyful Christian life. You can't go on if we harbor this bitterness and lack of forgiveness. Because the first thing we look is when we pray is we're asking God to do for us what we are not willing to do for someone else. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Listen, the day someone offends you more than you have offended God, then you can hold the grudge. It's not going to happen. It hasn't happened. It will not happen. So let me give you a few truths here this morning. And if you'll pay attention, I might let you out of class a little bit early this morning. So let me show you a few truths this morning. Number one, there are days in our lives when we need grace. Are there not? My goodness. How about every day? There are days in our lives when we need grace. And boy, we think it would be cruel for God to not extend it to us, right? But it's not just God. There are times when we offend others. There are times when we make mistakes. There are times when we need others, our spouses, family, co-workers, friends, neighbors, whoever it is, we need grace from them. Okay? Secondly, when we refuse to forgive, we are saying they offended us more than we have offended God. I already quoted the verse to you. When we refuse to forgive, we are saying they offended us more than we have offended God. And it's simply not the case. Thirdly, let me give you this. A lack of forgiveness hinders our walk in effectiveness with God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Your bitterness, your lack of forgiveness is a sin. It is the absolute opposite of Christlikeness. And you know what's good about it? You know what people think is good? I can hide it. But you can't. You can't hide it. Bitterness ultimately boils over. The Bible talks about the root of bitterness. And you know what happens with a root? It sprouts up, right? Rob just sprayed our parking lot. Monday? Sprayed our parking lot. And by the way, I noticed it when I came in on Wednesday. I noticed, I could already see it was dying. Boy, don't we wish those roots would go away. Amen. Those weeds just keep coming. By the way, somebody did the front of the flower bed. Don't know who did. Thank you. Appreciate it. Bothers me. Thank you for taking care of it. Wish those roots would go away. what happens? Even in the hottest, driest conditions, those weeds come up, don't they? They seem to flourish. You know, we had, was it in April or what month was so dry? Was it May and June? Was so dry. The only thing that grew in this yard was the weeds. They have the deepest roots. And when you choose to allow bitterness to stay in your life, all it's doing is getting a greater hold in your life. And it's tougher to get it out. Folks, listen. It's not worth it. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you have been extended the forgiveness, the grace that was necessary. Your iniquity was imputed to the shoulders of Christ as he was on that cross. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He took those moments of forsaking his own son so he did not have to forsake us and say, depart from me, I never knew you. Hey, considering all that he did, doesn't that make it a little bit easier to forgive someone else? To put into perspective their offenses to us by seeing our sin that offended a holy and righteous God. That's how we do it. David is king again, but God had humbled him. God had humbled David so that when Shimei came to him humbly, he had really no choice but to forgive him. And when you and I live in the perspective of humility, of everything that God has done and continues to do for us, we stood at a casket on Tuesday. The pastor of our home church did the service. He did a great job. My brother-in-law, who is a pastor, and I did the graveside. My sister-in-law and her children, I can't tell you the whole story. It's unbelievable how God worked in all of it. But anyway, we were there when my in-laws got the news that Sandy's brother was dying. And it was just like a day later he passed. And I remember sitting there, and this is what my father-in-law said. After he processed everything, he said, "Well, I know he loved Jesus." I stood at the graveside, and as I've shared with many of you, he was an expert in his field. And so I talked about two things, because my brother-in-law had to have time. So I mentioned his professional life, but then I talked about his personal life. And I brought up the book of Ecclesiastes. And at the end, this is what Solomon said, that this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. And then I told that story about my brother-in-law, what my father-in-law said when he first got the news. And here's the conclusion of the whole matter, folks. Fear God and keep his commandments. You and I cannot live. We cannot live without forgiveness. We can't. There's no way. And we cannot live without giving it. So Who needs it? Well, the first person that might need it is you. Have you received forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ? That's where it starts. From God the Father. The reason Jesus went to that cross was to die for our sins. Now, he died for the sins of every man, but not every man has the benefit of it. You say, how's that? Well, the Bible makes it very clear that just as Shimei came to David, that's how we go to God. We acknowledge our sin. We humbly acknowledge our sin. We honestly acknowledge our sin. And we ask him for forgiveness. And you know, he said in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you come honestly, if you come humbly, he has promised he will save you. He will forgive you. That's the only way you get it. And what a picture we have of David as Christ here. So you might need forgiveness from God. And if you do, in just a few minutes, we can show you how. From the Bible, not our opinion. Second thing, you might need forgiveness from someone else. You've offended people. You need to ask for forgiveness. You might need to go see somebody. You might need to get on the phone if they're too far away. You might not need to sit across the table from them and ask for forgiveness. And then there are those people who have offended you, and then they might not even ask for forgiveness. So why would you forgive them? Because you're forgiven, and you don't want to carry that burden. They might have hurt you and offended you, and they're glad they did it. Can I be honest? That's on them. Don't let it be on you. That's on them. Just like David. Do you remember when David left? He said, let God take care of this. I can't. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Oh, and by the way, a parent knows how to punish their children. If you're a good parent, a parent knows how to punish their children. A parent knows how to make it hurt. Let him take care of it. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you will use this message. Lord, I need it in my life and others do as well. I ask now that you'll bless us and give us the grace we need to follow through. In Jesus' name, amen.